All right, buckle up, everyone, because today we're diving headfirst into the world of quantum computing.
Yeah, it's one of those things everybody's talking about, right?
It really is. It's making waves, got everyone buzzing,
Yeah.
and we're here to figure out why, or at least try to, right? You've
Right.
got all these articles from places like ShareTechNote, really
Yeah.
digging into the what, the how, and the so what of it all.
I think what's really cool is that, it's not just sci-fi anymore.
Right.
It's becoming tangible.
Yeah.
So getting a grip on what it can really do, I think that's important now.
Absolutely. And I think one of the kind of like elephant in the room things we've got to address right away is this idea that quantum computers are going to make our laptops obsolete, make our phones obsolete.
Right.
Should we be hitting the panic button? Like, is this it for our little devices?
I don't think so, no. I think
Okay.
one thing that's really important to remember is that quantum computing isn't about replacing classical computing.
Okay.
They're fundamentally different.
Right. So it's not like this hostile takeover. It's more like we're adding tools to our toolkit.
Right, exactly. I mean, think of it this way, right? Your classical computer, it's like your Swiss Army knife.
Okay.
It can do a lot of different things.
Right.
But a quantum computer, that's like your, I don't know, super high-powered laser cutter.
Okay.
Very, very specific, very, very good at what it does, very, very powerful.
Got it. So the question is, where does that laser cutter really shine?
Yeah.
What are the tasks that quantum computers can just blow classical computers out of the water with?
So imagine you need to evaluate some function at, let's say, 500 different points.
Okay.
Your classical computer, even if it's got multiple cores, it's got to go one by one by one.
So even with the multi-core, it's still limited by the kind of step-by-step process.
Exactly. Now, a quantum computer using, this weird world of quantum mechanics can evaluate all 500 points at the same
Hold
time.
on, hold on. At the same
At
time.
the same time.
How is that even, why is that even possible?
So it leverages something called superposition.
Superposition.
And the idea here is that a quantum bit, right, a qubit, can be in multiple states at the same time. So
Okay.
think of like a coin spinning in the air.
Okay.
It's both heads and tails until you stop it.
Great.
A qubit is similar. It's zero and one at the same time until you measure
Okay, so my mind is officially a little bit blown, but
it.
so by tapping into this superposition thing,
Yes.
quantum computers can essentially explore tons of possibilities all at once.
Exactly. And that's where they really have this edge when the problems you're dealing with have just massive numbers of possibilities.
Okay.
Because something that might take a classical computer years, centuries even, to figure out, a quantum computer could potentially do in a reasonable time frame.
Okay, so now we're talking. Now this is where it gets really juicy. But before we get to all the what ifs and the, mind-blowing potential, let's actually zoom in on the heart of these machines. What is a qubit? And what makes it so different from the bits that we're used to in our everyday computers? So we've established that qubits, they're like the stars of the show here. But how do they actually, how do they work? It still feels kind of magical to me.
It's definitely a different way of thinking their information, right?
Right.
So think of your classical bit, like a light switch.
Okay.
It's either on or off, one or zero.
Right.
A qubit, now that's more like a dimmer switch.
Okay, a dimmer switch, so it can be bright or dim or somewhere in between.
Exactly. It can be in a combination of states, not just one or the other.
Yeah.
And that's what we were talking about before with that superposition.
Right.
It's like until we look at it, until we measure it and force it to choose, it's exploring all those possibilities at the same time.
That's wild. No wonder these quantum computers can tackle these massive, huge problems. But what about this whole entanglement thing I keep hearing about? Because our sources were describing that as being even weirder than superposition.
It's definitely up there. It's where it gets really, really strange. So imagine you've got two of these qubits, right? And
Okay.
they're linked. They're linked in a way that no matter how far apart they are, if you measure the state of one, you instantly know the state of the other.
Wait, so it's like they're communicating faster than the speed of light.
That's the thing, right? It's even Einstein called this spooky action at a distance,
Right.
but it's real, and it's a key part of how a lot of these quantum algorithms work.
So it's not just that they can each be in multiple states, but they can also be linked together in this crazy way.
Exactly. And that interconnectedness, that's where a lot of the power comes from. It allows for these really complex calculations that you just can't get with your regular bits.
Okay, so we've got these crazy qubits, we've got superposition, entanglement, all this stuff going on. what does an actual quantum computer even look like?
Right.
Is it like sleek and futuristic? What are we talking?
You might be surprised to hear that a quantum computer looks more like, well, it's basically a giant refrigerator.
What?
Yeah, our sources were describing it like a huge cylinder with all these racks and cables, almost like a chandelier, but for wires.
A refrigerator?
Mm-hmm.
That's not very high-tech sounding. Why so cold?
It's all about the qubits.
Okay.
They need to be kept at these incredibly low temperatures, close to absolute zero. We're talking colder than outer space.
Yeah.
And that's because any heat, any kind of vibration, it can disrupt their state.
So all that complicated setup is just to keep them cold and happy.
Pretty much. It's like creating this perfect, pristine environment for them to do their thing.
Wow.
And right at the heart of all of that is the quantum chip, this tiny piece of technology where all this magic happens.
It's amazing to think something so small could be so powerful, you know, to revolutionize so many different things.
Yeah.
But how do we even program these things? So we've got this picture in our minds now, right?
Yeah.
Super chilled chandelier. And in the middle of it, this tiny little chip with like all this power.
Yeah.
But how do we actually harness that? How do we speak quantum, so to speak?
Well, that's where these things called quantum algorithms come in.
Okay.
Basically, you can think of them like specialized recipes.
Okay.
They're designed to take advantage of everything that makes quantum computers special. Superposition, entanglement, all that good stuff.
So it's not just a matter of feeding it regular code.
Mm.
We need these custom instructions to really, like, make it sing.
Exactly. And the crazy thing is, these quantum recipes, they're already showing some pretty wild results. We were talking about Shor's algorithm before, the one that could, you know, shake up the whole encryption world.
Right, right. The one that can, like, factor these massive numbers.
Yeah, way faster than any classical algorithm could ever dream of.
Like, finding the prime factors of a number with hundreds of digits, it would take a classical computer, what, longer than the universe has existed or something?
Something like that.
It's crazy.
But for certain types of problems, like that one, a quantum computer, it could actually do it in a reasonable amount of time.
Wild. And then there's that Grover's algorithm, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you're looking for a needle in a haystack, but the haystack is the size of, like, I don't know, Texas.
Yeah.
Grover's algorithm could find it so much faster.
It's all about using those multiple states, those quantum connections, to explore all those possibilities at the same time.
Okay, so I'm seeing the potential here. Faster drug discovery, optimizing, I don't know, traffic patterns in a city.
Yeah.
Anything, really, in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
But then there's this whole other thing, right? Quantum AI, is that where we get, like, self-aware robots staging a coup?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, I mean, quantum AI, it's really about taking what we know about AI and, you know, like giving it a quantum boost.
So less about, you know, sentient machines and more about just like turbocharging what we already have.
Exactly. So imagine tackling these super complex problems, maybe in medicine, maybe in finance, whatever, with an AI that can process information in ways we haven't even thought of yet.
Right, right, because it can tap into all this quantum stuff.
Exactly.
But are we talking just like taking the AI stuff we already have and just like plopping it onto these new quantum computers? Or is it more complicated than that?
It's definitely not a simple copy and paste, no. I mean, some researchers, they're trying to adapt what we already know.
Okay.
But there's this whole other group that's saying, no, we need to start from scratch.
Really?
We need quantum native approaches.
Interesting. So it's like a whole new world with a lot of unknowns, probably going to be some bumps along the way.
Oh, definitely.
What are some of the challenges that researchers are facing, like, on this quantum quest?
I think one of the biggest ones is just figuring out how to actually represent data, how to perform operations in a way that really takes advantage of these quantum properties.
Right, because it's a completely different beast.
Totally. And then there's just the basic fact that qubits, they're very delicate.
Right, right.
Keeping them in their quantum state long enough to actually do something useful, that's difficult.
It's like trying to balance a spinning coin on its edge.
Yeah.
One tiny little, you know, disturbance.
Exactly.
And it all falls apart.
And it gets even harder as we build more powerful computers with more qubits.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this constant balancing act.
So it sounds like we're still really in the early days of all this, right?
Yeah, it's a little messy, still experimental, but man, the potential is huge.
It really is. It's like we found this whole new continent of computing and we're just starting to explore the coastline.
Yeah, and who knows what's out there.
Right. Maybe the cure for cancer, a solution to climate change, a way to finally actually understand the universe.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so exciting. It's not just about faster computers.
Right.
It's about a whole different way of thinking about problems.
It's about asking what if.
Yeah.
And then daring to imagine a future where those what ifs might actually be possible.
That's it. And, you know, I hope that's what our listeners take away from this. Don't just, you know, be amazed by the science. Let it get you thinking. Let it spark your imagination.
Yeah. So to everyone listening, here's a final thought. What impossible problem in your world could quantum computing blow wide open? What breakthrough are you waiting for? Keep exploring, keep questioning, and you never know what incredible discoveries might be waiting on the other side of that quantum curtain. Until next time, keep diving deep.